Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope on this wonderful Mother's Day. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for, like, as long as there have been Christians, basically. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We believe that Christ is present with us when we gather. We believe that he's not just some guy that taught a bunch of good stuff a long time ago, but that he actually did conquer sin and death and is alive today to meet with us here. So let's bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. God, we are so grateful for the love you've shown us in Jesus. And we're so grateful that you never gave up on us. All those times we gave you plenty of chances to turn your back on us, and you didn't. Instead, you came to us in Jesus Christ. You took our sin on yourself. And by your death and resurrection, you conquered sin and death and the devil. And today we can enjoy this wonderful freedom and this relationship with the God who made us. Thank you, God. Thank you for getting us here, where we get to worship you. We get to sing to you and pray to you. And would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray for a moment. God, we are so grateful for your faithful love that you have shown to us. You have never given up on us. And you know we've given you so many chances to do that. So many times, God, that you have been reaching out to us in love, and we have just kind of swatted you away. We have turned our backs on you. We've decided we know better than you do how we should live our lives and what we should do with our time, with our energy, our resources. God, we have loved ourselves and not loved you and our neighbors. God, today we confess that to you. We confess our failure to reflect your faithful love back to you and to the people that you've surrounded us by. God, we can confess this to you because we know you love us. We're not afraid to be honest with you today, because we have seen in Jesus that your love is, we've seen that it's real. We've seen that's bigger than we can comprehend. We've seen that out of love for us, instead of abandoning us or turning your back on us or condemning us, instead, you came to us. You embraced our broken, sinful humanity. And Jesus, you took our sin on yourself, carried it in your own body all the way to the cross, so that by your death, we could die to sin. And so that by your resurrection, we could rise to new life. That we could have freedom and hope for a new beginning as we trust in you. So we see in Jesus, we have nothing to fear from you, God. That you are not a God who is angry with us and disappointed in us or looking for an opportunity to smite us in some way. But instead, God, I pray that you would help us today to picture you looking at us, not with anger or disappointment or any of those other kinds of things, but that we could picture you, our Heavenly Father, looking at us with love. That we could see the compassion in your eyes. That we could just see the smile, the delight that you take in us. Thank you, God, for loving us. And thank you for all the ways that we see your love for us echoed in the love that we receive from others, God. Each one of us can think back in our lives of people who have loved us, people who have been good to us, patient toward us, kind to us, people who have been good to us in ways that we did not deserve. God, we see echoes of your love reflected in those people. On this Mother's Day, we think of the ways that we saw your love reflected to us through our moms. And I'm sure, God, there may be some of us that did not have great relationships with our moms. None of our moms are perfect. None of us are perfect people. But God, for so many of us, we can think back to our mother's love, and we can recognize that there was an echo of your love being passed along to us through that person. Thank you, God, for all the people in our lives who have shown love to us. And we recognize that today as your love flowing through them, echoing through them from you to us. We pray, God, that you would so fill us with your love, that we'd be so aware of the love you have for us and your grace for us and the forgiveness and the strength and the healing and all that you provide for us. God, I pray that we would be so filled with your love that it would just spill out of us, that it would echo from out of our lives into the lives of others, that we could be a people of love. Thank you, God, for the way your love transforms us, for the way your grace helps us to recognize our forgiveness and our freedom to live this new life. Please, God, If you could just open our hearts and minds today to receive this love from you, to hear you speaking to us, we would be grateful. We give you thanks for your faithful love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. A little half-hearted, but I'll take it. All right, we're going to give a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake someone's hand. Wish them a happy Mother's Day or a happy Sunday or peace. Let us know how we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, or maybe you've got a question or you got some feedback or something like that. I always love to hear from you, especially feedback type stuff. Maybe you're upset that on Mother's Day the pastor was in a t-shirt. I'll get to that in a minute. So jot a note and then drop it in the offering box back there. If you're giving a gift to God for the ministry of this church, you can do that there too, or you can give online like we do. That works. But there's a little box back there. I'd love to make sure this welcome card gets into it before you leave today. And then also there are announcements, things coming up, including, the two things this Saturday, and that's why I'm wearing this shirt. One of them is our 6K for water with World Vision. There are sites all over the world, hundreds of sites. I think it's over 1,000 different locations that people on Saturday will be walking or running for clean water. Here we'll be doing 5 laps around the park across the street. That equals 6K, which is the average distance that people in these communities that World Vision brings clean water to. That's the average distance those folks have to walk for water every day. They carry containers, they go and they find a shallow well or stream or puddle, whatever it is that they're walking to, and then they carry that home. And World Vision is working, and your participation in that event, your registration will provide clean water for the child whose name and face and country will be on your bib. This was mine. You get this in the mail. If you register today or tomorrow, you'll get it in the mail before Saturday. Otherwise, you'll get it after the event. But you'll get a little thing, just like a big old race, you know, where you get something you pin to your shirt and it's got your number on it. Instead of that, what they do is they provide you, this is Zandile, age 6, from Lesotho. I didn't know where Lesotho was. I had to look it up. It's an African nation, and he's going to have clean water because I'm walking this Saturday. Because of my $50 registration, that's the average cost of what it takes to provide clean water for a child in the communities that World Vision works in. And some of you know that the last 3 years I've run the Chicago Marathon with World Vision, and last year was able to raise quite a bit of money for them, and that was a lot of fun. I'm taking a break for a few years while the kids grow up a little bit so that I can not miss them as much when I'm out on the training runs. They'll be busy with other stuff by then. So 3 to 5 years from now, watch for me to be running again, I hope. Remind me. I don't think you'll need to remind me, but ask me in 3 to 5 years, like, so, running the marathon? And hopefully I'll say, sure, you want to run it with me? Okay, so... But this Saturday, you can walk 5 laps around there. And frankly, if you can't walk it, that's okay. If you make the donation, they get clean water, whether you walk or not on Saturday. I know we've already had some people just make a donation and say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to be there, or I can't walk it, or whatever. Here's my donation. Use this for somebody else to walk. And so if you want to participate, but you just $50 is just not in your bank account, and there's just no way for you to get that, talk to me after the service today, would you? And we'll get you hooked up so that we can get you signed up and you can get your shirt and the child and all of that. And by Saturday, you'll be ready to go. But I would love to see you all out there, if at all possible, this Saturday. And then in the afternoon, right in here, we're going to have a memorial service for Joan Woznicka, celebrating her life. And Tom's looking forward to spending time with any of you who have known Joan and are wanting to come alongside Tom as he's grieving her loss, and he's got all kinds of plans for pictures and stuff from her life that's going to be set up in here, and the meal's catered. So if you have not already RSVP'd to Tom, we'd still love to know if you're planning to be here on Saturday for that, just so we can be a little more prepared. And on the tables, I forgot to mention this one, on the tables are these little baby bottles. If you have not already taken one of those, we do this every Mother's Day. Take one of those baby bottles with you. Inside is a piece of paper. It gives you somebody to pray for, and to prayerfully ask God, what would he have you give to support the work of this ministry? It's called the Women's Center of Northwest Indiana. They have crisis pregnancy centers in, I forget now, is it 5 different locations around the region? And they come alongside women who, frankly, are their moms, and some of them weren't planning to be moms. Some of them are moms, and they find themselves, their situation has changed drastically. And oftentimes it's women who are contemplating abortion And the Women's Center comes alongside them and tries to help, tries to see how can we resource you, how can we make sure that you have the support that you need to choose life for this child. I know Stacy and I, with our two boys, David and Jonathan, you know, that we adopted a couple years ago now, we are so thrilled that they were given a chance at life and that we had the opportunity to adopt them. The Women's Center tries to come alongside women like our boy's birth mother and try to make sure that they have what they need to choose life. So it'd be kind of silly for us as a church to say, yeah, we don't think people should have abortions if we're not willing to come alongside and help them make that choice. So if God is moving you to give, please give, and at the very least, pray. And perhaps God's moving you to do more than give financially. Maybe he's calling you to serve, to volunteer in some way. They always can use more volunteers. But that's what those baby bottles are for. Take it with you. Even if it's not a political thing at all, even if you disagree with the work that they're doing or something somehow, take it with you. Pray for them. Pray for the people that they're serving. And if God leads you to give something, then bring it back by the end of the month-ish. Since the end of the month is a holiday and some you might be traveling or something, you can bring it back the first Sunday in June. That's fine. We just want to make sure we give it all, get it all to them in a timely way. Whether God moves you to give a quarter or $250,000, whatever he moves you to give, just drop it. If you're given $250,000, I'd love to talk to you about some other projects that we could discuss. But whatever God moves you to give, you can put it in that bottle and bring it back. And you just leave it back by the offering box. I see someone's put one back there this morning already. So that's a good thing. All right, there are probably other things I could mention, but we better get to the message. All right, today I'm wrapping up this series on love that we've been in since Easter. I thought I was going to go one more week with it next week, but I think we can kind of wrap the whole thing up today. We've been in this series because love is the central defining feature of the Christian faith. You know, it's what it means to be a Christian, is to be a person of love. Jesus said, this is how people will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. The most important verse in the whole Bible, perhaps, or the best summary, I guess, is a better way to say it, of the good news, John 3:16. Many of us have memorized that as a child, or you've heard that so many times that it rings familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It was God's love that moved him to send his Son, Jesus. It's God's love for you that caused him to never give up on you, as we've been singing about this morning. And when Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing that God expects of us as human beings? Of all the commands that God has given to his people, what's most important? And he says, well, it's a two-parter. It's love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it's love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. Love for God, love for each other. So this is central. This is unavoidable. This is inescapable, this love thing. So we need to know what is meant by love. And so we've been looking at this passage from 1 Corinthians 13, where the Apostle Paul describes what love looks like. And we called this series Love Works because love is so much more than just the warm fuzzies. It's so much more than just that way your heart goes pitter-pat when you see that person that you're infatuated with or have a crush on or that you are married to or whatever. I hope the spark is still there, but it's more than just that spark. It's more than just those feelings. It's even more than, since this is Mother's Day, I've heard so many moms talk about the first time they saw their child. You know, maybe they're in the delivery room and the child is born and there's all kinds of sweat and pain and agony, and then they take that child and they lay that child on the mother's in the mother's arms. And the mother sees that child, and I've heard so many moms describe kind of this love that just kind of blossoms in their chest, like it just kind of, poof, wow, I didn't know. I've heard dads say similar things. I'm not quite wired up that way emotionally, and maybe you're not either. I've heard some women talk about, I didn't have the little poof thing happen in my heart, and I don't know, is there something wrong with me? No, you just wired up differently. That's fine. But even that is not what we're talking about. The first week of the series, we talked about the different Greek words for love and how some of those words are about the familial love, about that love that happens just kind of naturally among family members, like this parental love we were just talking about. Some of it has to do with like this friendship love. You've got so much in common with this person. You know, you cheer for the same sports teams. You like the same kind of food. You watch the same kinds of movies. You voted for the same person in the last presidential election. You have so much in common that you're like, man, I just like this person. I love this person. This person's like a brother to me, like a sister to me. But it's different than that. And it's different than just the feeling, the passion, the spark, the romantic kind of love. The love that the Bible talks about, that God has for you and for me, and the love that he describes here in 1 Corinthians 13, and the love that we're expected to have, that all those verses I was just quoting a moment ago that Jesus talked about, the love that those are talking about is not those things. It's something different. The Greek word is agape. And like I said, we spent some time on this a few weeks ago. But it's the self-giving love that doesn't matter how attractive you are, and it doesn't matter how much you have in common with me. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It's a love that just kind of overflows out of the abundance of love in the person giving the love. It's the love that God has for you and for me. Even when we are sinners and thumbing our nose at God and trying to do our own thing, and God loves us anyway. It's the kind of love that happens when that we're called to, where we love even our enemies, Jesus said. Even those people that make us wish we could just, like, you know, if I was God, I'd just, you know, hit the smite button and there'd be some lightning and you'd poof, you know. But God calls us to love our enemies. He calls us to love with this love that doesn't matter the fact that they are a jerk to us. It doesn't matter that they've made our life miserable. Somehow we have to find a way to love because God loves that person. God loves me. This love, it's a love that gets shown in actions. It's a love that works. This love is the kind of love that can transform your life, can transform human society. And so here's the passage that we've been looking at. And I bolded the last part, the part that we're talking about today. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, some of you might be reading that in your own Bible. I don't see any of you with a Bible out this morning, but maybe, oh, and I see some phones, maybe some of you look. Anyway, I'll pretend it's a Bible, not Facebook. some translations translate that verse fairly differently, and I found this interesting as I was preparing for this morning, so I wanted to share just a little bit of that with you. I've got one of those other translations. I just read it from what's called the New International Version. Here's the New Revised Standard Version, and if this is all Greek to you, that's fine. It is Greek. It was written in Greek. I mean, that's the New Testament was written. They didn't speak English in Paul's day back in the Middle East and the Mediterranean where Paul was living and working and writing. They spoke Greek, and so people do a whole lot of study and a whole lot of work, translation teams around the world translating these Greek documents into the languages of the world and in the English-speaking world, because English is so prominent, so dominant, we have like an abundance of different translations. And we're gonna read some of those later. But one of them here, it's called the New Revised Standard Version, translates these verses like this: love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now that, to me, has kind of a different vibe to it, saying that love bears all things and believes all things, rather than saying love always protects, always trusts. And what happened in the Greek language is these little word pairs here, where it says love bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. And some translations, many translations, take that to mean like, oh, okay, so love bears all things. It believes all things. Others, like the New International Version, New Living Translation, some others, say that all, no, that's more of like a time reference, you know, like it always does these things, always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, Rich, it's not any different, it means the same thing. Okay, great, that's fine. But to me, that, like, I wanted to explain that for you, just in part in case you're reading that, you go home later and you're like, well, my Bible doesn't say it like that, it says it differently. Well, that's what's going on there. And he's wrapping up his description of love by, he's just kind of saying, it doesn't matter what life throws your way. It doesn't matter what you face. Love keeps loving. Love doesn't give up. Love, you know, whatever comes your way, whatever thing, whatever all things happens. It reminds me a little bit of the marriage vows, the traditional vows, you know, that couples say to each other when they're getting married. That whole richer for poorer, sickness and in health, that whole thing. You know, it's like saying, doesn't matter what comes, what life throws our way, I'm going to keep loving you. I'm deciding today to keep loving you for the rest of our lives. And this gets at this fact that love is not just a feeling. It's a decision that we make. It's a commitment we make to love another person. So, of course, I'm looking at all sorts of different resources to try to figure out, okay, how do I help connect this with life? And I know I'm not going to be able to do justice to all the different directions we could take these verses. But I did come across something I found helpful. It was John Wesley's notes on this. Now, this is reaching way back to like the 1700s, okay? John Wesley's kind of our theological great-great-grandfather or something. We're part of the Church of the Nazarene, which kind of blossomed out of the Methodist movement, which was started by John Wesley, this Anglican priest. He was a priest in the Church of England. And And he founded this movement of people who kind of had a method to their madness as they followed Jesus, and so they got called Methodists. And he had some notes that he had made along the way as he's reading through and teaching through the scriptures. He had made some notes that then he could pass along to others. And on this verse, this is what he said about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. And you notice right away, it's like old Englishy in some parts. Love covereth all things, which that's another word, covers. Some translations, instead of saying always protects or it bears all things, says love covers all things. And that's because that word that's getting translated there, it almost has like the connotations of like a roof on a building or a roof on your house, you know, that it protects you. It bears the snow that falls. It rests on the roof instead of resting on your head, you know. And so it's protecting you. It's sheltering you. It's covering you. It bears the weight of the snow or the weight of the rain or the heat of the sun so that it doesn't fall directly on you. And so he says, love covereth all things. Whatever evil the lover of mankind sees, hears, or knows of anyone, he mentions it to none. It never goes out of his lips unless where absolute duty constrains to speak. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. We were talking about love celebrates the truth, doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The fact that we don't gossip, we don't pass along negative stuff about other people to people who have no business needing to hear that. And he's saying that's what love does. It covers things. Not meaning like a cover-up, which I know to me I hear that and think, oh, like a cover-up? Like it's like you're helping somebody get away with something they shouldn't have? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, like, if Stacy does something this afternoon that disappoints me or frustrates me, I'm not going to go on Facebook and say, I can't believe my wife, blah, 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 right? Because I love her. And so I'm like, no, that's covered. That's, you know what, I love her. I'm sure that she didn't mean to hurt me, and I'm certainly not going to go blab about it to other people. He said, so whatever evil thing the person who's trying to love others sees or hears or knows doesn't mention it. Doesn't go out of his lips unless absolute duty constrains him to speak. And sometimes duty does mean, like, I've got to tell somebody. This person has harmed a child. This person is doing something. I've got to report this to the authorities. Love believeth all things, puts the most favorable construction on everything, and is ever ready to believe whatever may tend to the advantage of any one character. I think this is huge for relationships to work, for love to be played out, especially in the world we live in today where it's so easy to put the worst possible spin on things. I mean, just in a personal relationship, isn't that easy to do? Somebody says something, and instantly you're like, how could they say that to me? And you, for one, you assume you understood what they said, and you understood what they were trying to say, that they meant to say it as bad as it sounded to you, and then you were easily angered, unlike what love is not supposed to be easily angered, but we are, and we spin that in the worst possible way. Are you trying to tell me I'm, you know, and we come back at them, and you're always, and it gets ugly. And when I started to say the world we live in today, I think of the fact that social media, and not even social media, just like on the TV even, you know, let's use an example, the president of the United States, but it could be anybody famous, anybody in elected office, anybody that you would have heard of, perhaps. I just saw this happen multiple times in the past week. Something happens, and you're on Facebook, and one of your friends has shared, can you believe the president said this, and they're passing along a meme or a video or something they've been passed along to them, and it's taking whatever the president said and putting the worst possible slant on it, the worst possible spin. I can't believe the president would say this and blah, 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 and it's just getting ugly, and you know, you see how many times that's already been shared by other people. But then, depending on your political persuasion, you could see something that takes the president's, what the president did, and it puts the most favorable spin on it. It says, aren't we glad that we've finally got a president who does XYZ, whatever it is. And it's completely, you know, it's putting the best possible spin on what the president did or said or whatever. And that's getting shared. And yeah, I'm so glad we finally have a president. And it's getting, you see how many times that's been shared and all of this stuff. And the crazy thing about this is, those two, like, websites that one of them put the worst possible spin on and one that put the best possible spin on it, sometimes those are owned by the exact same person. And that person's making money off both people, both groups of people. And all they've done is they've created one website that's pro whatever it is and one website that's anti whatever it is. And one thing happens, and this website puts the worst possible spin, this website puts the best possible spin, and they make money off everybody that clicks and shares and does all that stuff. Because they know how we're wired, and they know how this works. And what John Wesley is saying, and what the scriptures are saying here, as that love decides, I'm going to put the best possible spin on what I just heard from this person, on what this person just did. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to assume that this person, like, let's say somebody says something and it's hurtful to you. It stings. Instead of just assuming I heard them right and assuming that they meant to hurt me and all of the rest, love is going to say, you know what, that person cares about me. That person says, that's kind of out of character for them. Maybe I misunderstood. Or maybe there's some reason that they said it the way they did. Maybe I should ask. And instead of blowing up and saying, you always are criticizing me for whatever, love would say something more like, hey, did I just hear you say blah, blah, blah? Did I get that right? Because that stung, and I'm thinking maybe I misheard you. Maybe I misunderstood. And it gives that other person a chance to, like, clarify or to say, oh, I didn't mean it like that, you know, or to say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Ah, I was frustrated and I shouldn't have said that. Or it gives a chance for healing or something, for love to happen instead of, you know, explosions to take place. Love is going to put the most favorable construction on everything, is ever ready to believe whatever may tend to the advantage of any one character. And when it can no longer believe well, because it's like, oh, it's very clear they meant to say they did something they shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that. Love hopes whatever may excuse or extenuate the fault which cannot be denied. I can't deny that they were at fault there, but love is hoping that maybe there's an explanation for this. Maybe there was an extenuating circumstances that led them to that. They were tired, they were frustrated, they whatever. And it's still going to kind of hope for the best here. And he says, where it cannot even excuse, it hopes God will at length give repentance unto life. Or it's like, you know, there's just no excuse for what that person said or did, but I'm still going to hope the best for this person. I'm still going to hope that perhaps God will help them to change. God will help them to see that that's not a constructive way to talk to your spouse or your employee or your classmate or whoever the relationship is that you're imagining right now. Whatever this person is that you sometimes struggle to love. Meantime, he says, love endureth all things. Whatever the injustice, the malice, the cruelty of men can inflict, he can not only do, but likewise suffer all things through Christ who strengtheneth him. Which is a reference to the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying, I can do all things. I can suffer all things. I can endure all things because Christ gives me strength. Because Christ has loved me. He's filled my heart with love for this person. And so I can endure the bad stuff that they're going through right now. I can endure this. I can continue to love. I can, instead of giving up on them, writing them off, forget you, unfriend, don't want any more, love can endure. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, where Peter, one of Jesus' 12 apostles, says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Again, it doesn't mean it in the sense of like a cover-up, but he's saying in a community, which that's who Peter is addressing, like the church here, love each other deeply. He's saying you need to love each other, because love will cover over a multitude of sins. In life, we are going to step on each other's toes. In life, people are going to hurt you, going to disappoint you. People are going to do things, and you have the choice in that moment. I can either blow this thing up, and I can either push them away, or I can say, you know what? I love you, and so I'm going to forgive that. I'm not going to keep dragging that out. I'm not going to add that to the list like we talked about last week and keep dragging that out. You know, let's forgive. You know what? I love you, and so I'm gonna put the best spin on this. I'm gonna hope for change, and I'm gonna because I love you, I'm not gonna let that thing that happened come between us and always live there. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love makes it possible for a relationship to continue in spite of our human frailty, our human weaknesses, our sometimes human selfishness and unkindness. Love makes possible the continuation of relationship, the continuation of love, because it covers over a multitude of sins. Now, one of the things that helps me to do this, to put this into practice in life, and I've just, like I said, just this last week, I've been in some conversations where I was like, oh, wow, it's a good thing I'm preaching on this right now, because it's making me mindful of this and how I'm engaging in these conversations. But this if we continue to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just a reminder from several weeks ago, this church in Corinth was getting a lot of things right, but a lot of things not right. That's why Paul has to write this letter. They love the fact that God is doing these amazing things through them. When they gather for worship, there are these supernatural things taking place. Sometimes people are getting healed. Sometimes God is giving someone a special like word of knowledge where they know something that they wouldn't otherwise be able to know. And they're able to sometimes prophesy and say to somebody, look, hey, don't worry, you're going to get that next job. And don't worry that things are going to work out or you are going to be healed of that disease. And God is communicating through them in miraculous ways to each other. Some people are speaking languages they've never learned. And all kinds of these amazing, like, wow, God is really here. But Paul looks at the way that they live together and say, well, you got all these big showy things, but you're not actually loving each other. And he looks at the way they're treating, the rich are treating the poor, and he looks at the way that, all the different ways that people are not just stepping on each other's toes, but like stomping on each other, and purposefully so. And he says, look, guys, you've got all this stuff, that's great, but more important than that is love. And so after describing how love is patient and kind and does all these things and love never fails, he says, and you got this in your notes, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part, what is partial, it disappears. And then to try to illustrate what he's getting at, he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, you know, when I grew up, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. He's saying right now our perspective is so limited. Right now we're just kind of, we don't see everything clearly like we think we do. It's like we're looking at a reflection in a foggy mirror, or some other translations, we see through a glass darkly, you know, or dimly. Mirrors back then were not like the perfect mirror you probably had in your bathroom this morning as you were looking to make sure you had your shirt on right side out and all that kind of stuff. Back then, mirrors were much less perfect, and you didn't see a perfect reflection of what was in front of you. He's saying, that's kind of what it's like now. I am limited in my knowledge. So if I'm struggling to love someone, if I'm in an argument with somebody, if something's happening, I remember, you know what, this forces a certain humility on us. It says, you know what, I don't have the whole story. I know I don't know everything about this circumstance. I don't know this person's whole story. I don't know what I think I know what they're trying to say, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know the backstory behind what I'm seeing here. Maybe I'm only getting a little snippet of the conversation, and maybe I shouldn't jump to the conclusion that this person who shared this with me on Facebook has jumped to. Maybe I should look into this and see if there's more to the story. We recognize that I only know in part. What I know is partial. And it would be a childish thing to assume that I've got the whole story. You know, but no, a child has a very limited sense of the world around them, right? I mean, we've got twin two-year-olds. They do not understand how the world works yet. We're just getting to the place where we're teaching them that when we come to a street, they have to look to make sure there's no cars coming. And just the other day, you know, we were walking. It was nice enough outside, and it wasn't wet that we were able to walk around a little bit. And we get to a street, and Stacy says, are there any cars coming? And he says, nope. Like, you didn't move your head. You didn't look. You know, like, he's just walking up, nope, no cars coming. I'm like, okay, we stop, and we look. Did you look down the street? Are there any cars? No. Any cars? Oh, no. Okay, then it's safe. And you have to hold my hand when we walk across the street. They don't understand the whole picture. I'm 43 years old. I don't understand the whole picture. I'm still a limited, finite human being. I don't know the whole story. But one day I'll know fully. One day I'll know completely. But right now, as long as we're present on this world, we're limited. And that helps us to be a little bit humble and perhaps extend grace to others like grace has been extended to us. He says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The most important thing, he's saying, is that we love one another. All right, to wrap this thing up, on the back of your notes, we're just going to have a little bit of reflection. And we're going to do a little bit of it right now, like just a couple minutes. But I would encourage you, perhaps later today, to take this page and to just read through this a few times. And three different questions that we think about the love that we see described in Scripture. We've talked before about how it's so much easier to love others like this if we ourselves have received this love from God. It's so much easier to be patient with others when I'm aware of how patient God has been with me. It's easier for me to give somebody a second chance to forgive when I'm aware of how many second, third, fourth chances God has given me, how many times he's forgiven me and not given up on me. It makes it easier for me to keep on loving when I'm aware of how God has kept on loving me. So the first question, as we think about all these descriptions of love, have I experienced this kind of love from God? Have I opened up my heart to be loved by him? Or am I still trying to do life my own way? Have I said, okay, God, if this whole thing is true, if what Jesus says is true, then perhaps I can trust you. Perhaps I can open my heart and life to you if you really love me like this. Some of us have some pretty messed up pictures of God in our heads. But this is how God is love, the Bible says. And so if this is what love is like, then this is what God is like. Have I experienced God in this way? Have I experienced this kind of love from God? Another question to think about, am I receiving this kind of love from people I'm close to? It's easy for somebody to say they love you. Are they loving you like this? Are they showing you this kind of love? Some of you are in that kind of place where you're evaluating a relationship. Do I want to spend this much time with this person? Do I want to really open myself up to this individual to get close to them? Are they loving me the way they say they love me? And the third question is, am I showing this kind of love to others? Am I then loving the people around me with this kind of love? Or has it just been kind of easy talk for me? Am I loving others the way God has loved me? So what I've got here is four different translations, just because I want us to hear it a little bit differently. And these put it in different words. Some of them you might have heard of. The New Living Translation is the first one. It's one that we've used here quite a bit. We have even some of the Bibles in the back are this translation. The Message is a paraphrase of the pastor Eugene Peterson who tried to just put the Bible in his own words. And these next two I'm not as familiar with. So please don't take my using of this as like, oh, Pastor Rich used it. It must be great. Okay. I came across these this week, and I think they're probably okay, but I've not done extensive studies of these translations. The first one's called The Voice, which I'm pretty sure is not connected to the TV show. And then the last one is the Passion Translation, which kind of like The Message was a single pastor and missionary doing the translation work and then bringing other people in to kind of help. Some of these, like New Living, New International Version, New Revised that I quoted earlier, these were like whole translation teams of scholars working together. Anyway, I'm going to read through these. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it, but I'm just going to read through these. And as we read through, perhaps more than one of those questions can be in the back of your mind. Have I experienced this kind of love from God? Am I receiving this kind of love from this person who's I'm still kind of evaluating our relationship? Am I showing this kind of love to others? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious, doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There's no arrogance in love. It's never rude, crude, or indecent. It's not self-absorbed. Love isn't easily upset. Love doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice, but truth, yes, truth is love's delight. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts, hopes, and endures no matter what. Love will never become obsolete. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. I hope that you have experienced this kind of love from God. I hope that you have experienced God in this way, as the one who never gives up on you, as the one who keeps loving you no matter what. That's what we're about to celebrate here in the celebration of communion in just a moment. After we pray, we're gonna take this bread and this cup and join Christians around the world in celebrating the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. That's how we know that God loves us, because he's shown it to us in Jesus. We've seen just how far God will go out of love for us, that he's willing to, instead of pushing us away, he's willing to embrace our broken humanity. And by Jesus' death and resurrection, break the power of sin and death and set us free. This is our entry point into the life of God, is Jesus Christ and the love that God has shown us in him. So let's bow our heads and let's pray before we celebrate communion together. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not giving up on us. And thank you that out of love for us, you sent your son, Jesus Christ. So that as we trust in him, as we believe the picture of you that Jesus paints, as we believe that Jesus really is showing us an accurate reflection of who you are, we find ourselves willing to be honest with you, God. We find that we don't need to be afraid of you, of being condemned or punished by you, but we find instead that you invite us to just be honest about our need of you, that we need you to forgive our sins. We need you to help us to change, to begin to live life differently. And so, God, we are honest with you today. We don't hide our faults. We don't hide our failures. We don't hide our questions. We don't hide our fears. But, God, we're just going to be honest with you because we are convinced by Jesus Christ that you love us. We see it demonstrated in him. Thank you, God, that out of love for us, you were willing to risk. You are willing to make yourself vulnerable because that's what love does. God, you know that some of us in this room, we have been so hurt. We've been so wounded by others when we opened ourselves up to love. We became vulnerable and we were hurt, we were wounded, we were broken. And so now, God, we have got this wall built up between us and other people. And for some of us, it's a wall between us and you. God, I pray that today, your Holy Spirit would break through that wall and convince us to open our hearts, to open our lives to you, to be willing to be loved by you. And as our hearts are changed by your love, as we find ourselves forgiven and set free, as we find ourselves transformed by the love you have for us, God, would you help us to take down the wall, to be willing to reach out in love toward others. As you have been patient with us, help us to be patient with others. As you have been gracious and kind to us, help us to be gracious and kind to others. As you have never given up on us, help us, God, to never give up on others. Thank you, God, that we have this celebration of communion to be reminded of your love in a tangible, touchable, tasteable way. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen, victorious Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering the great sacrifice that was made to set us free, to show us your love. God, we offer you ourselves and pray that by your Spirit's work in our lives, that we might be changed, that we might be transformed into a people who can love, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, echoing your love to those around us, letting your love so fill our hearts and lives that it just spills out. Thank you, God, for the great love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. As we say yes to you, would you help us to experience that love and that freedom and that grace and that new start that you give us? You embrace us and call us your own. You adopt us into your own family. Thank you, God. help us to see ourselves not as broken sinners. Help that not to be what defines us any longer, but help what defines us to be your love. Help us to see ourselves first and foremost as people made by you, loved by you, transformed by you. We give you thanks for this amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been. If today you're hungry for his grace, if today you are thankful for his faithful love, then you're invited to participate. No pressure to. No one's going to look at you funny if you don't. But the table is set, and we have an opportunity today to celebrate God's love and grace. So let's do that. Body of Christ, as the hands and feet of Christ, sharing your love with the people you send us to this week. You are so good to us, God, and we are so grateful. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace.